Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from St. Matthew's account of the faith of the Canaanite woman in the 15th chapter. From Luther's small catechism, you were taught that when you pray, "Our Father who art in heaven," with these words, God tenderly invites us to believe that he is our true Father and we are his true children, so that with all boldness and confidence we may ask him as dear children ask their dear father. St. Paul writes to the Thessalonians, "Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." And finally, Jesus says, "Whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith." But how does the child of God, the Christian, react when, as God's dear child, you pray with all boldness and all confidence, but your dear Father in heaven is silent? How can you give thanks in all circumstances when it appears that God has abandoned you in your pitiful condition? I know you have faced it. All believers have. You call upon the name of the Lord, and he remains silent. You hear not one word. Only crickets. Is it that God wants you to suffer and be in pain? Perhaps maybe your faith is too weak, you ask yourself. Well, to answer this question this morning, we consider the faith of an outcast woman, the Canaanite from our text. Jesus and his disciples travel into Gentile territory near Sidon and Tyre. The Gentiles are not Jews. They are unbelievers who reject the God of Israel. Yet never underestimate the power of God's word. For behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." The Canaanites are a pagan race that had rejected God centuries earlier. But this Canaanite woman came to Jesus humbly, but with great and confident faith. And she speaks to Jesus as if she was one of his disciples. Three times in our text, she calls him Lord. And what's really surprising is the fact that she calls him Son of David, the messianic title of the one whom God had promised to send to sit on his throne and reign forever, the greater King David, God's anointed one. Now, Scripture doesn't tell us how this woman came to faith, but it's obvious from the text that she has heard the prophecy of the Messiah, and apparently she's heard what Jesus had been doing, his healing and his teaching and all his miracles, his acts of mercy, and she recognizes him as Messiah, as the Savior, and she comes to him to beg for mercy. And you and I know she's come to the right place. Because, hey, if you need a miracle, where else would you go? You go straight to Jesus. Miracles are right in his wheelhouse. Earlier in Matthew, he records, the people brought Jesus all the sick and those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures, paralytics, and he healed them all. Healing a demon-possessed little girl should be a piece of cake. So with all boldness and confidence, the woman makes her request known to God in the man Christ Jesus. And he did not answer her a word. God in the flesh is silent. Now, the woman knows that to a Jew, her being a Canaanite, she's nothing more than a Gentile beggar, descendant of a Canaanite. She's neither worthy of nor deserves anything from Christ, the Son of David. It's kind of amusing. The disciples find her as nothing more than a nuisance. It's as if they are saying to Jesus, send her away. Either heal her daughter so she can be on her way, or deny her request and get her out of here because we're tired of listening to her. We want peace and quiet. Well, to us, it looks like Jesus is giving her the big snub. Rather than speaking to the woman, when Jesus talks past the woman and speaks to the disciples, saying, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, as a point of clarification, during Jesus' earthly ministry, he was specifically teaching to the lost sheep of Israel. And it would be after his crucifixion and resurrection that he would draw all mankind to himself, sending the gospel to all nations and gather both Jew and Gentile alike into his holy mountain and his house of prayer, as we heard in our Old Testament text earlier. But Jesus' silence to the woman does not silence the woman. She came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Now, before we get the wrong impression here, in the original language, there are two different words for dog. One, indeed, is an insult. It's an insult for those persons who are considered unrighteous and impure. However, in this case, Jesus uses a different word. It's an affectionate term for a house dog or a lap dog. And the woman knows this, and she replies to Jesus in faith, saying, yes, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. She knows and understands God's plan of salvation to save his people, Israel. She recognizes Jesus as Israel's Messiah, and she knows that his bread belongs to his children. But she doesn't want the children's bread because she knows that when the children eat, what happens? Crumbs go everywhere. The crumbs fall to the floor and the dogs eat. And to this Canaanite woman and her demon-possessed daughter, Jesus' crumbs are sufficient. Just as sure as the woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years knew that if she could only touch the hem of Jesus' garment, that she would be healed, this Canaanite woman knows that the bread of the Messiah is powerful and it is abundant, and the crumbs will be going everywhere. She believes in Jesus' mission to his children, but also to the other people in the world. His abundant provision for those little dogs who are also under the master's care. When Jesus saw her faith, he said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. So how are you, as God's own child, to react when you pray in all boldness, with confidence, but your dear Father in heaven remains silent? God's silence is powerful. It's painful and difficult. It can be excruciating as God conceals his divine wisdom for you, as he conceals it until he determines it is time to reveal his will. That is, if his will is ever revealed on this side of heaven. Like the woman, you and I are neither worthy of nor deserve any of God's gifts. There are even times that you and I view Jesus the same way that the disciples viewed the Canaanite woman. We don't want to listen to him. We just want to send him on his way. But also, like the Canaanite woman, the Holy Spirit has created faith within you. And that Holy Spirit has brought you to this place this morning where our Lord speaks to you. Even though it seems that with the coronavirus and all your other burdens and your problems and your illnesses, it seems like God is silent. But the writer to the Hebrews puts it this way. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. You see, it's out of God's silence that faith is created and nurtured and strengthened. Our Lord desires to hear your prayers. He desires to hear and answer your prayers. And he does answer each and every one of them. As we often say, sometimes yes, sometimes no, sometimes not yet. The Canaanite woman, she hoped for healing for her daughter, but the first thing she wanted was to hear from her Savior. She wanted to hear an answer to her cry for mercy. When it appears that God is silent, he's not ignoring you. He was not ignoring the Canaanite woman. No, our Lord is not pushing you away. He desires to grow your faith like the Canaanite woman, that faith may grow ever stronger in him and look to him as the sole source of your help and salvation. Noah and his family, they waited in the ark from when the door was slammed shut. They were in the ark 1 year and 10 days until God told them it was safe to go outside. Abraham waited until his 100th year, until a son was born to him as God had promised. Joseph waited 17 years from the day he was sold into slavery in Egypt until he was raised to power in the courts of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And then there was this other time when God was silent. For over 400 years, God and his prophets were silent until the fullness of time had come to send forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. He didn't send Jesus here just to fix everything. No, born of a virgin, born in a manger. Some almost 33 years later, Jesus waited to hand himself over to sinful men to save Jewish and Gentile sinners such as you and me. The crumbs of his flesh were torn as he was lashed. His body was nailed to the cross to endure all of God's wrath against your sin. And there hung Jesus in agony, waiting. God is silent. God turned his back on his only begotten Son until it was finished, so that you and all mankind could be reconciled back with the Father. And even though Christ has won victory over sin, death, and the grave, God doesn't promise that he is going to remove every problem, every sickness, take away every trial on this side of heaven. You remember, St. Paul was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger from Satan to harass him. Didn't want Paul becoming too conceited. Paul begged to God three times, only three times, to remove the thorn, but God said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." You see, in his wisdom and his mercy, sometimes God is silent. And it's out of his silence that your faith is created and strengthened and built up in him. Our Lord desires that your faith grow ever stronger in him and that you trust in him alone for your salvation. And in your suffering and in your pain, even during God's silence, in boldness and with confidence, cry out to the Lord as the Canaanite did. Jesus, have mercy upon me. You see, God's grace is sufficient for you as well. For the sake of Christ, when you are weak, you are strong. Like the woman in our text, cling to the words of Jesus. Cling to God's holy word and his promises that he has given you. Because while you think he's being silent, he speaks to you every day. He speaks to you through his means of grace, and he feeds you with an abundance of his life-giving crumbs. He speaks to you in the promises he made you in baptism. He gives you the forgiveness of sins, rescue from sin, death, and the devil, and eternal salvation. He speaks to you in the words of the holy absolution from the pastor, as if it is from God himself that your sins are forgiven in heaven. He speaks to you in the proclamation of his word, where he reveals his grace upon grace and his love for you and his infinite mercy. He speaks to you in his holy supper, where he feeds you with life-giving bread and wine, crumbs in abundance that are powerful, of Jesus' very own body and blood given and shed for you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you see, Jesus didn't answer the prayers of the Canaanite woman just so he and the disciples could have peace and quiet. He answered her prayer, and he answers your prayers so that you have his hope and peace. Even when it appears that he is silent, even when your faith is weak and you're hanging on to your last thread, call out to Jesus. Call out, because he comes to you and speaks to you in his means of grace, granting mercy, strength, and comfort, no matter what the outcome may be. His promises are sure. And live confident in those promises, the assurance of forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.